The Press Box is here to catch you up on the latest media stories. Hosted by Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker, these guys have the insight on the biggest stories you care about. Check out The Press Box on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I found it very strange that he was actually upside down for us to start with. What was that
and
about?
And his chain, his massive 50 cent chain was like, was all over his face. His mouth.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House on Ringer SC. I hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to talk about the Premier League race for the top four. We're going to give flowers to Kieran Trippier, talk a little bit about my time at Burnley, and look ahead to Lionesses' first game in the Arnold Clark Cup. And my guests are Flo Lloyd-Hughes and Mr. Ryan Hahn. How are you doing, guys?
Good. Feeling good.
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, good.
How are you?
What have you done? You're looking very cheeky.
Yeah, you are looking cheeky.
You know what? I don't feel cheeky, but I think because the Nancy and the girls have gone, they've gone doing their stuff, so I could just do my stuff. I can just be in the house like a man and do man stuff.
What are you doing? What are you doing then?
Are you doing an F1 championship? That's what you're doing, aren't you?
I did a qualify last night because I haven't driven for a while, and then I went to golf.
Do you have one of those special like steering wheel and pedal situations?
Yeah, I've got a steering wheel pedal
thing. I got one.
But not a special one, just the normal one.
Just the normal
one. So I'm doing that man stuff. What's it called? And then I went up and then I watched the film Beaches. Barbara Hershey and Bette Midler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it? When they grow up together.
I haven't. It's one from back in the day.
Way back in the day.
I feel like we've talked about it before. Who was I talking? I was talking about this movie with someone recently.
And it was Valentine's Day. I'd done a video with me cooking my food on my own and sent it to Nancy and the girls.
Aww,
they were laughing.
Oh, that's so
cute. Was it just like that?
No. It was that vibe where I was feeling really sorry for myself.
All
I was
like,
that's exactly what I was doing. And then I watched the film that made me cry.
I don't know why, but when you say like I'm home alone, the first thing that comes into my head is like the cat with the cucumbers on the eyes.
Yeah, it's just relaxing.
yeah, definitely.
It's really hard for me because like first, when you get in, there's no noise, no welcome, no nothing. And then you just have to get on with, Oh no, I've got to do stuff.
I'm like you. I hate silence. I hate being in the house on my own. I find it really weird when I haven't got like company or music or noise in the background. I find it so weird.
I love it. I mean, I talk to myself though.
Do you?
Yeah, when I'm home.
I talk to myself as well. I do that. I do when
I'm doing something. Like if I'm doing something and I keep doing wrong, I'm like, oh, it's a bit stupid, isn't it? Like I'll talk to myself like that. Like I'll give myself a little like commentary and narrative.
I did it when I was watching the Newcastle game, which we'll talk about in a bit. And he was talking about St. Maximin breaking forward and he goes, someone to the right. And I just went, to the left, to the left. Like, I just came out with it.
Right, you mentioned Newcastle. And I think I'm probably going to give flowers to this next guy, Kieran Trippier.
We're going straight in on the flowers.
I think, can we do that? Because I think that of anybody, I think Kieran Trippier should get flowers. Remember when Kyle Walker left and obviously Poch said, hang on a minute, this Kieran Trippier is pretty good. Yeah, I can sell him for 50 million. And was thinking, well, we'll see what's happened. Did not miss him a bit. Didn't miss Kyle Walker one iota in that Poch side. You know what I mean? I think he's very underrated with his delivery, very underrated player. The fact that Gareth loves him, so he plays on the left, plays on the right. Went to Atleti, team of the year when they won the league. Simeone didn't want him to come back, but he wanted to come back to England. No one could tell me that Kieran Trippier was going to be the face of Newcastle's change. No one could have said a 30-year-old, 31-year-old right back was going to be able to come into Newcastle and change it like he has. I have to give this man flowers.
I watched a lot of Kieran Trippier last year for Atleti, and he was such, like you said, he was such an integral part of that side that won the league for Atleti, and quite an underappreciated member of that squad during his time there anyway. Like he was absolutely integral. It was such a coup for Newcastle United.
Because you remember Man United were after him as well, you know, United wanted to take him.
I was a little bit concerned in terms of like, is the motivation going to be there? Like it must be quite hard to go from someone like Simeone winning the league at Atleti to then go into a side that's struggling in a relegation battle. It's really interesting how some players who fit at one side just go to another side because they almost want like a different role. And I think that's the thing that Kieran Trippier has done. He's kind of moved now more into like a full leadership role. Got the armband straight away pretty much. They've just synced together like club and player, which he's been amazing. And they're going to really miss him now because he's out with this foot injury.
Yes.
Which is such a shame.
Also, I feel like it's a throwback. Do you remember when everyone used to get metatarsal injuries? Like the Beckham, the Rooney one. I feel like we haven't heard about this injury for ages, and suddenly at this crucial time for Newcastle United, he scores a free kick, suddenly the metatarsal curse is back. And like, I feel really bad for him.
Do you remember when that spate of metatarsal stuff happened and they were like, is it the new plastic boots?
Boots!
Yes!
The boots!
Yes.
It's the boots!
You know something? I had to go up to do Alan Shearer's Foundation. Alan Shearer's Foundation is magnificent. What he's doing up there for the kids and the underprivileged people up there is magnificent. I've got to give him that. And they've got to start thinking about the knighthood for my man, my mate. It's got to be knighted. It's amazing what he's doing. And when I was up there, oh mate, the vibe in Newcastle is happening. Everybody, you know, and this is why it is a shame that Kieran Trippier's got the injury when he's got the injury. But saying that, if they could continue to ride this wave, because I think Newcastle are fine now. I don't think they're going to be going down now, because I think that they were in a little bit of danger. They were definitely in a bit of danger, but Kieran Trippier going is going to cause them a bit of problems. But if it's anything to go by with the fans and the energy in that place, Newcastle are going to be fine.
3 wins in 3, 4-point gap on Norwich, who have played a game more. And with Everton beating Leeds on the weekend as well, it kind of looks like those two have pulled away a little bit. And that's really seems to have changed over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you see, when you look down there, it's what which one of those teams can put together a couple of wins? Because you know something, it's so tough down there. A couple of wins gets you away.
Yeah.
It literally saves you. I think Newcastle, with those 3 wins, it saved them. Because I look at Norwich, I tell you who I really worry for, Brentford. I thought that they may have had enough points to keep them in a place where they might be okay, but I feel...
Their form recently has been really poor.
I just can't see those bottom three accumulating enough points to leapfrog Brentford.
You don't think Burnley?
Well, I mean, Burnley they've got 4 games in hand, right? But they're still 12 points behind. So they're going to have to win 3 of those 4 just to get level on points with Brentford. That's a big gas.
But I don't know who their next few games are.
Oh, in terms of fixtures?
They've got Brighton, Spurs, Palace, Leicester, and then Chelsea, which is obviously really tough. But I think they could win 3 of those games. Leicester are in a rot. They could beat Palace and they could beat Brighton.
I think that Burnley could do that.
And they could beat Spurs.
You two sound like Rio Ferdinand and Owen Hargreaves. That's the win. That's the win. That's the win.
That's the win. That's a running win. That's the win.
How good was that? I love that. It's brilliant.
That's a win.
But you know something? You look at it at the time, you think, yep, that's a win. That's a win. But no, I'm with Flo here. I'm with you, Flo. I think a Burnley, especially Sean Dyche's Burnley, and I know that Weigl's missed a couple of chances the other day against Liverpool. I was watching them. And again, everybody would have thought, yeah, Liverpool are going to beat them. Liverpool beat them 1-0, but like the chances that Burnley had, Burnley should have done something. So they could take that. Take something from that game. They should have got something from that game. So those games, what we're talking about, what they've coming up now, apart from Chelsea, you have to say that they've got more than a good chance of getting stuff out of that game to leapfrog a Brentford. Because I'm looking at Brentford at the moment and I can't see their goals. I can't see who they're going to beat. It doesn't look like they can beat anyone.
I hate to like go more Rio Ferdinand on this, but what Burnley have as well is that they're hard to beat. They're really hard to beat. They're hard to break down. They're stubborn. They've got very good organised defenders and they're an organised team. They just don't have goals in them. Whereas you look around some of those other teams and they just can't stop letting in goals. Watford have a terrible championship level defence, Norwich as well. They're leaking so many goals, whereas Burnley don't have that. So as soon as Van Vijkhorst can really, really hit the ground running and get confidence and start banging them in, which I think he's definitely capable of. He looks good.
He should have done it against Liverpool. That's the thing.
Yeah, he had that one dink, didn't he?
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I think but for somebody to come in and you're playing against Liverpool, and you want your first goal to be a beautiful dink. You can't be thinking about beautiful dink. You got to be thinking about, I'm getting this in the goal. Because the dink was so poor. He got it so wrong. It was actually missing the goal.
He's already thinking about how he's going to feature in the Premier League years for 2021, 2022. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Should we talk about top four?
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what my favorite weekends are as an Arsenal fan?
Go on.
The ones where they don't play. Oh my God.
No one wants it. No one wants it.
Oh my God. Is there a more chilled weekend as a football fan
than your team
and everyone else around you trips up?
Yeah, but even when we did play and we beat Wolves and we went down to 10 men and, you know what I mean? Neves is coming. I was vexed with Neves coming out and saying, look how Arsenal are celebrating. You know what I mean? I said, what's wrong with you? That's an unbelievable result for Arsenal, the way that you lot have been playing Wolves. 1-0 away from home, down to 10 men and we get the goal. Jesus Christ, that is fucking cause for celebration. I don't care what anyone says.
Some people just hate fun though. Some people just party poopers.
Exactly. When you look at Arsenal, so Arsenal, we have to go to Spurs, we've got to go to Chelsea, West Ham, got Manchester United to come at the Emirates. It's going to be tough. I said at the start of the season, the way the season started for us, if we could get six, I'd be so happy. And I think he'd be where he should be. In and around 8-6, and then you start to progress from there. I think that if Arsenal could, when you look at how everybody is at the moment and how everybody's got to play each other, if Arsenal can win games like I saw them win against Wolves, I'd be happy with that. You know, I feel for West Ham in this top four because they've got the seriousness of that Europa League coming now, and it gets more intense now. They play more frequently. You know what I mean? The game's a lot tougher.
And their squad's not that big, you know. No, they're already a bit depleted with injury. And as soon as they lose a couple more, they look thin on the ground.
That's the thing. That's why you have to worry for them. You know, Spurs, I don't know what's happening with Spurs. Spurs go to City, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, West Ham at home to come. Tough games with us. Spurs that looking how they are now, right? And United got to City, Arsenal, Liverpool. And they've got Spurs and Chelsea at home as well. So I think, I don't know. I can't call it. I can't call it, but when you look at how poorly teams are performing, and like you rightly said, Rye, when teams play like that and your team don't play, it is a beautiful time to be alive.
I nearly bought a pack of cigars. I was just like,
Ryan, I hate to be like the party pooper, but...
Don't, Flo, don't do it. What are you doing, Flo?
Flo's going to
do it. Of what we know of Arsenal the last few years... Are they going to take advantage of this opportunity that's just been handed to them?
Oh, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? No. What are you talking about? No, but, come on.
No, Mikel looks very focused. Come on, man. I think we are. Who's going to do it then? United?
Well, can I share something? I feel like I should go to confession.
Go, come on,
I'm not even religious, but like, I should go to confession.
Come. Okay, I'm listening.
I looked at the table. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the results and I looked at the games in hand and I was just like, you know, third.
No, Rye. Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if I was a priest on the other side and you reacted like that? No, God, no.
Oh, God.
Not enough holy water. Jesus Christ. No, third.
I'm kidding. Of course, I'm kidding. But there you go.
You got me.
But no, I think that with the top four stuff, so for West Ham, out of everyone, they will probably be the most chilled because top four or Champions League, I don't think was like a must achieve. Another top six for them is huge this season. Because at least it's a sign of, I mean, you've seen this so many times before where maybe, you know, an outsider will break into that top six.
We saw what happened to Leicester when they tried to do it.
Yeah, and then they can't sustain it. If West Ham can do it again this year, I'd say that's arguably more impressive than doing it last year. Manchester United are an interesting one because I thought Ralph Rangnick made a really good point after the Southampton game. He would worry more if they weren't creating. And I think that's something that you've seen a lot of managers say this season. I think Musa and I spoke about it on Stadio, like Thomas Tuchel came out after a couple of disappointing results that Chelsea had and just said, we're creating chances and the performance was fine, so I'm happy with that and that'll come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thomas Frank did the same thing at Brentford. And I think managers are more, yeah. I mean, if you look at the XG, for example, like Manchester United had enough to win that game against Southampton.
Yeah.
So that is a concern. But I think, again, it kind of comes back to the like, well, Ronaldo is in there to be a finisher. If Ronaldo's not finishing, then what else is he in there for?
Exactly. Mm.
But you're just rehashing the same stuff over and over again, right? I do think Mikel, and I'm not, and I, the third thing was a total joke, so please don't come after me.
Okay.
But I think Mikel will be looking at that and thinking, what are Arsenal's games in hand? Burnley and Spurs, right? They're Burnley, the two that got postponed.
Yeah, they're tough.
He would expect to take 4 points out of that, though, I think.
In the current climate, I'd like him to be thinking. I'd love him to be thinking. I wouldn't want to go into those two games. And we know how tough Burnley will be in Tottenham's a derby. So that's going to be tough anyway. But I think we need 4 points out of that in the current climate where we are now. We need at least 4 points out of that just to keep it going. You can't. I don't think we could lose any of those. And I don't think 2 points is enough because whatever you say about United, they've got the kind of firepower and the players that, like Ralph said, they are creating stuff and they will start to take, they'll take them.
Yeah, they'll click.
They will click. And that's what worries you about United. But what else is happening at United is there's something happening in fighting-y kind of vibe to the point where Gary Neville says, I know who the moles are. I know what it is. There's stuff happening there.
Did Gary Neville say that?
Sounds like something from The Masked Singer, not United Infight. I know who the mole is.
He knows who the people are who are causing the problems in respect to the talking and the stuff like that. You think, if that's happening there, how do you continue to do that and put in the kind of performances you need to win the games that they have to win when we saw how Southampton could have beat them?
But you know what? Also, you know what's a good sign is that with the Arsenal Aubameyang situation, we still don't really know what happened, and that is a sign of a good
leadership
on that because they kept it tight.
Yeah.
The info didn't escape. Whereas in United, there's more rumours and gossip every 5 seconds.
Musa said this that like you only ever really hear stuff leak from Arsenal that they kind of want leaked.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. They're very good at being in charge of the message.
Maybe there's do you remember when Mourinho was at his second stint at Chelsea and he did that post-match interview and he was just like, there's rats in the dressing room.
I love it. That man.
I feel for Conte because unless they've told him in the summer, we're going to give you everything you want, I cannot see him staying there.
Really?
You think he's going to go in the summer?
I can't see. Spurs cannot carry on like they are now. Nothing happening in January with a manager like Conte, a winning manager, a manager that's aggressive and he wants his team to be aggressive and winning. And the way Spurs are at the moment, I'm sorry, watching them against Wolves.
Those two goals were a total mess.
Come on, man.
I feel like...
Come on.
It's a weird one because I can't tell if he's saying things because he wants more time and he wants more money and he obviously got a few players in January but sees the summer as a real opportunity to get what he needs to put together this team, or he's genuinely saying I can't work with this shit, I can't like as I in it's done there's no opportunity I can't
he's
work
doing
it
both,
out
Flo I feel the same as you I think he's doing the both, but like to the point where I don't know what he's going to do. But like, I probably would be frustrated if I was him. I cannot sit here and feel like Conte's happy with his lot unless he knows more than we know. You know, I can't think to myself, why would he stay for that? Why?
He said yes, though. So like, there's part of me, he said no in the summer, and then he said yes after Nuno Espirito Santo got fired. So it's like Carl was saying in the Rights House group, like, what has changed in that time? If he said no in the summer, then he's probably put extra thought into it. I don't know. I don't actually have that much sympathy for Conte with this, because I think someone as astute as him knows exactly what he's walking into. The only thing I can feel a little bit of sympathy with is maybe if they didn't get some highlighted targets in January. But I actually thought, and we actually said this on Stadio, that I thought they had an okay window in January. I thought bringing in Kulusevski and Bentancur two really, really, really good signings.
Yeah, exactly.
This wasn't a long time ago that Spurs had all of those games in hand. And it was looking very, very rosy.
Yeah, yeah.
But that seems to have been a bit of a theme of the Premier League this season. Like, a fortnight can change everything. Like, look at Everton already. Yeah. Like, just that win has really pulled them out of trouble. Not out of trouble, but away from the trouble that they looked like they were going into.
Yeah, but people don't understand that. Those, what happens when you do pull away like that, right? It gives, like, Newcastle now, there's an energy and a confidence that even if you're, even like if you're a point away from, if you've been in the relegation zone for like all the season and you're a point out of it, your attitude and your mental state is so much far, it's so far superior to the guys still in there because you've lived in there all the time. So just being out gives you an extra boost, an extra kind of like incentive to kick on again. And I think that Everton will do that. I think Newcastle will do that. I think Brentford are actually going the other way. In the way that they can't seem to find it. And the same with Tottenham. We know that they've got the capability, but they can't seem to put it together. Man United, the same. I think Arsenal have got a great, and I think what we said at the start of this, right, you're absolutely right, and you are as well, Flo. Can we recognise that this is it? Have we got the players that realise that if it's going to have to be 1-0 to the Arsenal, have we got those players who are going to defend resolutely and then take that half a chance? You know, that's why I think there's more emphasis on set pieces. There's more emphasis on the small margins for Arsenal, because that's what's going to get us over the line. Whereas you look at, if Tottenham click, Son, Kane. If Man United click, Ronaldo. You know what I mean? Sancho. They've got the kind of players, Bruno Fernandes, that can do stuff. You know, West Ham, I feel that their squad, I don't think with the Europa League are going to be able to sustain. I wish they could. If it's going to be tough for them, I think it would be better for them if they weren't in that. Because it's going to come so thick and fast, the Europa League. You know what I mean? David Moyes, if you're David Moyes now, do you say, do I try and go and win the Europa League, which is going to be very tough for West Ham, or do I try and blast into the top four? Or do I do Europa League next year? Because like, look what happened with Leicester. They had two goals at it, fifth, and then it's just like gone, oh, fucking hell. We've got to do that. Oh, fuck's sake. Mm-hmm. It feels like that with Leicester. And you've seen Brendan Rodgers now. And Brendan Rodgers, he's digging out players. He's saying things. We're hearing players want to leave. This one's not happy. That's not happy. He's saying players think they're better than they are. That is the kind of thing that you don't want from a team that is trying to break into the elite. You need to be together more than any. This is the test. Finishing fifth twice, you come back and you regroup, you bring a couple more players in, you get those players back from injury and stuff, and then you go again. That's how you try to break it. You don't like capitulate, oh, I want to leave now. And that's what it looks like for me, a lot of the Leicester. There's a couple of Leicester players that, to me, I've done my run. I've got to go now. I've got to go somewhere where it's happening.
I feel like as well, they're just, I mean, I think I've said this on when I went into PLP last week and was talking about Leicester a lot, which is, I think they've reached the end of the cycle, both the squad and the manager. I think sometimes you just reach a natural conclusion with the group that you've worked with. And I think also they've got a mix of players who've been there for a very long time, like Schmeichel, Vardy, part of the title winning team, won the FA Cup, have been there, seen a lot. Maybe they need to move on. And then they've got a few players like Patson and Daka, who so much potential, very good player, but are trying to come into a group that's existed for a while, and it's a bit of a mishmash. So something's got to give, and I don't know if it's going to be the old guard moving on and realizing they've, you know, their time is done, or it's going to be Brendan Rodgers moving on. But I don't think, regardless, I don't think a new manager coming in is going to change things that much, because I think the squad is kind of split at the moment, and there needs to be a refresh of some sorts in either capacity.
And something needs to happen at Leicester. Although we're talking top four, I just felt like, because the pressure of trying to get in there, I was trying to make the point for West Ham. You know, if I'm looking at how it's happened for Leicester, I want to get in the top four as soon as I can. Now, I'm not saying you got throw the Europa League, but I'm going to put my eggs in the trying to get in the top four basket, because you know you'll end up in the Europa League anyway, rather than what? Try and win that fucking tournament. It's too tough.
It's a hard tournament.
For West Ham, with West Ham's squad, it's too tough to win that tournament. And now we're getting into the crux end of that tournament. The games come quick and fast, and it's top teams. It's going to cost West Ham.
Real won it last season, and they didn't have a hugely deep squad, you know. But Unai Emery's kind of been there and done it in the Europa League.
Exactly.
But we're recording this on Tuesday, by the way, and by the time this comes out, Manchester United could be in the top four. Or...
yeah.
Brighton could have overtaken Spurs.
Wow.
Or neither. If they draw.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're going to, like, the game is, you're going to this Brighton game, and we know how well coached they are. That's going to be tough for Manchester United.
So, in short, after all of this, we have no idea how the top
four
no. Yeah, no. And that's why, you know, that's why we love the game, right? That's why we love this beautiful game.
There you go. You got a podcast out of it.
But I heard someone say so lovely. Said it's like four bald men fighting over a comb to get into top four. It's a great line. It's a great line.
It is true, though.
Well, I mean, it was like this a couple of years ago. Do you remember when Arsenal were nailed on under Emery, and then they just absolutely fucked it right at the end?
I think what has been positive, though, is the teams that are in with a shout for that four. For that fourth spot has really changed over time. And I think that's really positive, is it's far broader. There's a lot more teams in contention, and it's not the usual suspects. I think that is good for the league, that like teams are showing that they can compete. It's just a little bit funny that certain clubs in North London keep shit in the bed.
Shit in the money bed, baby.
Hey, listen, I don't want to stick myself in confession again, but you know, Thomas Tuchel wants to keep one eye out. Just saying.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, man, what?
Well, it was Valentine's Day this week, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of an anniversary.
What one?
When you signed for Burnley.
I signed for Burnley on on Valentine's Day.
Was it 22 years ago? Is it 2000, right?
Yes, so that was Valentine's Day, yeah.
Romantic.
It was. It was the same kind of weather as we're getting today as well. It was really grey and blustery.
Do you remember the day? Do you remember when you signed?
It was brilliant. It was unbelievable. People came. There was loads of people came there. I didn't think they were expecting it like it happened. I wasn't expecting it like it happened. You know, because when it came about, I was so close to going to Millwall.
Were you?
Yeah. As close, because I wanted to go to Millwall. And at the time, I think they had Keith Harris and Mooney up front. You know what I mean? Millwall, I watched the first game there when I was 9. I would love to have had a little spell at Millwall simply because it's the first place I ever saw a football match and I could have finished my career there. It could have been nice. But to play in front of their fans, which I don't know why I wanted to do that. But now, when I look back now, but it was something I wanted to do. But then I remember when Stan called me and he said, I said, yeah, I'll come, Stan. I'll come, because like he was the coach that really set me on the path of trying to get to the top. He was the one who coached me. He was the one who coached it into me to never, ever be satisfied with what you've done. You know, every single training session, you should get something. What did you say? So I'm coming into training session today. I'm not going to give the ball away once in training session. Bam. If you give it away, you failed in that training session. You've got to work to perfection. You know, I'm going to play. I'm going to control everything with my left foot today. I'm going to work off my left foot today. Bam. I'm going to make sure that every single shot I have, it goes on targets. He gave me that kind of like, that kind of coaching and working on everything every single day. And so I said, yeah, I'll go to Stan's, because he wanted us to get promotion. He said, we've got a good chance. And we did, and we done it. We got promotion. It was amazing. It was brilliant dressing room. It was a brilliant dressing room to be in, because the guys were journeymen guys. Guys were coming towards the end of it, but like they were never ever going to be in the Premier League and stuff like that. But they were a great bunch of guys, you know. And we got promotion, and it was a brilliant way for me to end my career, to be honest.
So you were only there what? About three, four months.
Yeah, yeah. I made a lasting impression. The thing is,
is that because you kept eating all his chocolates?
Well, to be honest, did someone tell you? I used to go to his house because he used to have these.
Did someone tell me about it? There's a fucking athletic piece about it.
You know, I used to do, because everybody used to call me the son of Stan. I literally could do anything there, to the point where I just used to take the mickey out of the rest of the guys. And when Stan would say to everybody, no tackling, I would still be tackling. And when anybody else tackled, he'd send them off to training field. I said, no tackling, what the fuck's wrong with you? He said, look at Righty, Righty's tackling. I said, you fucking shut up and stop tackling. That kind of stuff. And I used to go to his house, and his kids, Chris and Danny, and I used to bite half of them and put them back in.
Oh my God, you sound like worst nightmare.
Fucking absolute rascal.
Literally, absolute rascal.
Me and Mitch, and he used to, what's it called? They used to have a family like meeting. Who fucking done it? That's because that's what he was like. Who's fucking bitten?
Oh, he's a Gateshead boy, right?
Yeah. He was amazing. I remember there was one time. It was a great one time. We was getting ready. I can't remember. We was going to play Reading. No, Gillingham, and Gordon Armstrong. He was really, like I say, really good pros. And so he picked the 11, and then the substitutes, and I was substitute. And I don't think Gordon was involved. And so he says, right, the 11 who have picked over there, the subs, and so I was with the subs, but I went with the 11 anyway. And then Gordon Armstrong went under. He kind of said it under his breath. Oh, fuck me. I thought we was all pissing in the same pot, right? And I thought, fuck you. Hang on. And I looked around because I knew that the gaffer would hear that. And he had this way about him. He'd have a smile when he's going to say something to you. And he went like that. What did you say, Gordon? And I thought Gordon was going to say nothing. But he said it again. He said, sorry, Gaff, I just thought we was all pissing in the same pot. And he went, fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off back into the training ground. Fuck off and take your mate with you. Jepson, fuck off with him. It was like so funny. But to be somewhere where it was so intense and so organized, because he was so organized, Stan, with what we were doing. We were very difficult to beat. We had Steve Davis there and Crichton in goal. My mate Mitchell Thomas at center half. Stuff like it was a very strong, strong team. And in the end, like I said, we had Glenn Little. Remember Glenn Little? He's this really skillful. Yeah. It was so organized. It was really refreshing. I used to come off the bench and do some bits for him, but it was amazing time there.
It sounds like a great time.
Oh, it was amazing time. You know what we used to do on a Friday? They used to have a court session and he used to be in charge. So you weren't allowed to...
It's the like kangaroo court.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about this. The England, the Lionesses one, apparently was in its day, in the glory days, was particularly spicy.
But this one, it's amazing, because what happens is you have to do things through the week. Like, for instance, if you leave your training top, if you go to the showers without your slippers on, if you haven't put your gear and stuff. So everybody, it's kind of like, it's not grassing up, but it's like...
Snitch central.
So any other business, it would be like that. And that sort of stuff. And I remember there's one time, I think I had a wee or something, and I didn't ask for permission to wee. And you know what I mean? It went into a whole thing. And I'd done this magnificent defense for myself, and Stan let me off, and they all went fucking mad because
handle the truth.
It went really.
You were such a teacher's pet at 36 before retiring. This is like, Ian Wright signs for Burnley at the in the kind of twilight of his career, and should have been an absolute. Should have been a mentor and leading by example, and he was the one who was like on trial every week at the
on trial court. Every week. It was brilliant, man. I can't tell you how great that was, and it's good that you remind me of that because like I get a lot of love from Burnley fans. It's funny, I got to mention a fan. Someone said to say hello to all of us. His name's Toby. I met him in the pub yesterday. And he says he loves Stadio, he loves Wrighty's House, and he loves everybody involved. And he just wanted me to say hi to everybody. Flo, Mayoa.
Thanks, Toby.
Toby's giving love. But like, yeah, you know what? Love on a day of love was yesterday, which I didn't get much love. But like, yeah, Burnley was a beautiful time for me. Beautiful.
Wrighty, you didn't buy yourself the M&S Pie Love You meal for one then?
No. I made pasta for myself and videotaped it and sent it to my wife.
That little last stint of your career, I find really interesting because obviously...
Why?
Well, it was quite London-centric. So you have like Palace, Arsenal, West Ham. Mm-hmm. You go to Nottingham on loan.
Mm. Sorry.
You're north of the border to one of the greatest cities in the world, Glasgow. What do you think of Glasgow?
It was scary. It was a scary one because obviously being there with Celtic, right?
You don't know
who you're meeting.
I don't think people in England we don't truly realize how wild that rivalry is.
So I didn't come out, you know. And Paul Lambert, what a man! Paul Lambert would come and pick me up every day if I needed to. He'd drop me off. He'd make sure I'm all right. You know what I mean? Get me around to his house. I'd stay around his house and stuff like that. If you were involved with the Celtic fans, like I remember me and Enric went for lunch. It was literally like the Pied Piper. Mm. The people just started following us. following Enric. I've never seen anything like it. The adulation. I've never seen anything like it apart from probably if Michael Jackson was walking in London, he'd probably get that same kind of love what Enric got when we left the restaurant and going to our car. I've never seen anything like it. You know, it was amazing. So if you're the Celtic fans were amazing to me, but like in the main, it was intense. But like Burnley, brilliant. Me and Mitchell were in Burnley. We had we rented this house. We bought these two unbelievable Lazy Boy chairs.
It's like Joey and Chandler from Friends. Yeah.
Did you massive,
massive. We're massive 50-inch TV, gas fire. And literally two blankets, and that's where we lived in those chairs.
Living the dream.
And you know, get up, go training. Kids would come round. You sign stuff for the kids. People would come round and stuff like that. All the fucking curtains were drawn. Everything was dark. If you came in there, it was dark. It was two men living without a trace of anything else, of anybody around them. It was ridiculous.
Oh, I'm glad. How often do you get back to Burnley?
Well, to be honest, it's not often because, you know, it's too big. What I do now, right, with this, it's every day. Like there's football. And at the moment, the games are in the week and I'm working on the weekends. It's very tough to get there. It's very tough to get to anywhere. I can't even get to Arsenal games properly. Palace games, you know. But, you know, that's the way it is at the moment. So, Flo, the Lioness is Canada. I'm quite excited, Flo, simply because we need a fucking test, man. You know what I mean? We scored 53 goals unanswered, you know, with the teams that we played against. It's going to be interesting to see what Serena does simply because we've been able to take liberties. And I'm worried that we didn't, even though we were going to beat those teams easy, we didn't play in a way that could tell me something about what we're going to do. Flo, I'm quite worried about coming up against a very resolute Canada side.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also... Over the last couple of years, whether it was under Phil Neville or in the sort of interim time after that, England have shown that they don't really know how to defend and they haven't been tested at all in their World Cup qualifying campaign. So we still don't know if they can defend. So I think this is going to be really important. I think they've scored goals. They've missed a lot of chances though. So I think there's still a ruthlessness that's missing there, but they have not had to defend at all. Murray Earps has made about two saves across maybe six games at this point. So they need to be tested. And I think it could be a rude awakening slash wake up call with a few months to go before the Euros, or it could be putting down the marker and showing that this team are serious business and are potential Euros winners. So I'm excited to see which one they fall on.
I think I wouldn't mind us having a bit of both of them, because I think that the ladies will be very welcoming of this kind of competition. And
they're very excited for it.
You know what I mean?
They should be.
I want to see what's going to happen with the defense, because obviously Alex Greenwood's going to play. Is it going to be Millie Bright, Leah Williamson? Leah Williamson probably, especially against some of these midfields, even against the Canadian midfield, I think that Leah could play in there, maybe with Kira.
Definitely. I think it should be Greenwood and Bright, and Williamson should sit in front. I think that's perfect.
Yeah. And at some stage, I don't know what's going to happen with Ellen White. I know she probably starts. I watched her the other day against United. Her form's not great. It's not great. She didn't do very well. And even in these games I've watched, even we've beaten the teams very easily, but I've not seen the link up play, the hold up play, the energy. So we know that she's our tournament like maverick. But I'm not sure we're going to see the best of her in this. And when you look at Fran Kirby, when you look at Ella Toon and the way they play, I know that Lauren Hemp could get the ball in, or Beth Mead can get the ball in. But I think we should try Fran Kirby, how she plays with Chelsea off of somebody like that nine, like that, you know, dropping off as well, you know, that second nine. We need to find another way.
Fran Kirby false nine.
Yeah, Fran Kirby can do that. I think Ella Toon could do that.
Ella Toon has definitely shown she can do that this season. I think the positives for England is they've got great width. They've got really, really good attacking players on both wings. Mm. But it's through the middle that I feel like they're really lacking at the moment. And like you said, Ellen White is a monster when it comes to major tournaments. But I think regardless, coming off the back of a difficult season like she's had, we need to be having a bit more of a killer instinct in the box. There's not much of that going on at the moment.
Yeah, we need more. Need more goals from that.
And Canada are a really good team. I mean, Ashley Lawrence.
Yeah, she's going to cause Lauren Hemp some problems.
One of the best fullbacks in the world, deserves a lot more global recognition. And I think she could really eat this tournament.
Chapman on the other side with Beth Mead, Alicia Chapman. She calls her a problem. I think that what we're going to see with Lauren Hemp is like Ashley Lawrence blasting her that way as well. Because again, we haven't seen anybody putting that kind of pressure on a Lauren Hemp. You know what I mean? Maybe on a Beth Mead at international level. You know, we can't go into that tournament, for me, with the midfield that we've had. You know, I know we've got two number eights. We've got Katie Zellum and Jordan Nobbs, really, as the two maybe number eights who could play there.
I think Jill Scott is a good option. I don't think Katie Zellum should start. I don't think she's good enough to start in England first team. I haven't seen enough from her this season to make me think that she could start and compete. I think I would opt for someone like Scott or Nobbs alongside a Walsh and potentially a Williamson in that defensive midfield role, and then look for some energy on the width.
Canada themselves, they're kind of a counter-attack team, quick. Mm. You know what I mean? So Leah, I'm thinking like, okay, Alex, brilliant, left foot, fantastic. Millie Bright, the pace. If they do catch us on the break because we're not going to be controlling the midfield, then I worry for Millie Bright's pace. And this is where maybe Leah, again, do we need two holding midfielders against Canada, like Kira Walsh and Leah, whereas we might need Leah's pace at the back? I don't know. Because there's, like I say, the games that we've had up to this point in our qualifying have told me nothing. Mm. All I know is that, you know, we're not ruthless enough, even though we've scored loads of goals. And people, for me, should have been playing at a much quicker tempo, just so as then when you get to this level of teams we're playing now, Spain, Canada, Germany, we're kind of ready. Because I think this could be a fucking massive wake-up call.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited for the games because, like, I want to see something just like the ladies do.
But I think what's also good is I think it's amazing to know that they've managed to put this together with some of the best teams in the world. Mm. And then you look at what the US has been left with the She Believes Cup, and you're like, okay, we have stockpiled like some of the best teams in the world right now, and they're going to be playing on English soil to prepare England for a home Euros. That's a bit of a luxury, to be honest. Yeah. That's a bit of a luxury. No one else is kind of getting that. And we're also preparing Spain and Germany for that tournament too. Like, they're getting something out of this. But I think it is really, really important for preparations for that and to get people excited about that tournament as well.
And you have like three potential favourites all getting a good look at each other beforehand.
Yeah. For us to get that calibre of opposition is kind of like Ian Wright at Burnley energy, bro. Just getting anything you want.
Eating all the chocolates.
Eating all the chocolates and putting them back.
Get those lazy boys.
Guys, I'm going to have to leave you.
All right.
I'm going to have to say thanks, man. You bouncing? Can you say you're going to bounce? So it's not like I'm throwing you out.
I'm going to bounce.
You're going to bounce? Are you off as well?
Yeah, I'm off. I've got to go.
Oh, well, listen, thanks for coming. Flo, what happened to my picture? Where is it? Remember
I'm bringing it next week. I'm in my friend and I'm going to get it.
Okay. Nice.
It's coming.
Thanks a lot. Rye? I love you, man.
Love you too, man. I'm gonna leave you. Gonna leave you alone again. Go and watch another Bette Midler film.
No, it's not. What's nice is that I could go to the Premier League and all of a sudden I just bump into Flo.
Yeah,
see my dad.
Take your daughter to work. Thanks, man. I love you guys.
Have fun, man. Much love.
Much love.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Really enjoyed that. Thank you very much to Ryan. Thank you very much to Flo. We'll see you again next week. And you know what can I say? Have a great week. Hey, listen. Like I said, it's not bad to cry sometimes, man. Just have a little cry. It helps. See you next week, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.